Mighty, mighty good singing. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Brother Todd. Take your Bible and go back to where we were this morning, except just a couple of chapters over in Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. Tonight, it may be a little bit repetitive. I had both messages scrambling in my head, and some of both of them came out this morning. It may just be that you need to hear some of it twice. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of hard-headed. Sometimes it takes a while for things to sink in. You ever had your mother say, "How many times have I told you?" And finally one day a light comes on and you get it. Amen? And maybe tonight a light will come on and some things about the Lord will begin to dawn on you. In Joshua chapter number 3, they are just about to cross over into the promised land. We have this in the undertaking of pursuing and conquering the promised land. We've got our first miracle coming up right here. God is about to part the River Jordan. And this 2.5-3 million people, I guess somewhere in that neighborhood, is about to walk across on dry ground. Some of them, we said this morning, remember, they had a choice to make. Some of them choose to go on. Some of them choose to stay where they were. I wish it weren't that way. I wish everybody would go on. I wish everybody would choose to live on another level in their salvation with God instead of just being satisfied with just being saved. Yeah. Amen. There's more to it than that. It gets better and better and better and better and better. I like it when it gets to the point that you have a desire in your life. You want nothing else. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get to where, and really, you got to start working on yourself and find a balance, because if you're not careful, you'll get bitter about your job. You won't be interested. I mean, it's just, you just want to be with the things of God and doing the things of God. I remember when the Lord started dealing with me about going full-time here at the church. It just began, and I loved my job. I had a great job, and it was, I really, really didn't deserve what I make. I didn't do much of nothing, but I loved my job. I loved the people I worked with, but all of a sudden, it just wasn't fun anymore. I wasn't excited. The whole time I was there, all I could think about was here. Are you following me? I wish everybody wouldn't be satisfied with where you are. Because if you're satisfied with where you are, you're never going any farther. You got to understand that. If you're never satisfied with where you are, if you are satisfied with where you are, you're not going any further with God. Amen. Joshua chapter number 3, they're fixing to cross over. The Bible said, and Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went, through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, now watch this, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place, what's the next little phrase here? And go after it. There was their instruction. He said, when you see the ark, go after it. Now, tonight, before I get to the message, just let me say, God has been mighty good to our church. Let me say that again. God has been, sometimes, Brother Freddie, it scares me, some of the things I say, because you know how a lot of times when you verbalize something, you wind up eating your words. Sometimes I say things like, we've never had a deformed baby born, say stuff like that. And I thought, boy, I better be careful, just make sure I say it with a very thankful heart and not a prideful heart. Amen? But God has been very, very good to our church. We've never had a church split. I mean, we've had some split, but we've never had, you know what I'm saying? We've had some hit the rope, but we've never had a church split, never had a big church fight, never had a big turmoil, never had, I mean, boy, God has been good. In 17 years of running buses up and down the road, I'm talking about all over Paulding County, that includes Hiram, Dallas, New Georgia, Yorkville, all over Rockmart, Carrollton, Villarica, Temple, where else have we been? All over this whole area. 17 years of picking up boys and girls. Never once have we been contacted by a lawyer. That's huge, friend. Never once has somebody tried to sue us. I mean, I'm telling you, God has been good. He's blessed this church in so many ways, it is just absolutely amazing. But I want to say this about this church. Every move we've made, I'm not talking about our physical move from Dallas to Villarica. I'm talking about every move in ministry, every move in Sunday school, the buses, every move we made has been a step of faith. Amen. You know, I pray a lot of times and I get a little bit jealous, and I know I shouldn't, but I get jealous of these churches that's got piles of money and they got hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, and I get jealous. I say, God, why won't you let us have it like that? And he said, because you'd be just like them, wouldn't trust me no more. Amen. We've had to literally trust God for every move we've made. It's all been a step of faith. There's never been a time where it was just a comfort zone where no problem, sure, we got the money, why not? Everything we've ever done that God's put on our heart has been a step of faith in that. How are we going to pay for it? I don't know. We're going to trust God. Everything we've done has been that way. Every ministry we've started, every idea that the Lord has put on our heart, everything we've done, Brother Tom's first question is, how are we going to pay for it? My answer is always the same. I ain't got a clue. All I know is this is what God said to do. Amen. Y'all okay? It's been a step of faith. And we have gotten to where we are because of the one we're following. Do you understand that? This church is not where it is today because of my leadership ability. I don't think I'm a good leader. Somebody can come in here and do a whole lot better of organization than me. I'm just not a good leader. I'm just not. But I know I'm where God put me. And I know I'm doing what God told me to do. We're not here because of my abilities. We are here because of the one thing I can do, and that's follow God. Amen. I don't know a whole lot, but I know the voice of God. I know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. Amen. And don't get me wrong, I'm not superhuman. I've missed it a time or two. And so have you. If you've been saved any length of time, you will. But I'm just saying, this church is where we are because we are following Him. And if we're going any farther, we're going to have to continue to follow Him. Amen. Some people, I don't know how much a rabbit running I'll do tonight, but some churches follow an organization. They think they can go to this seminar and learn how to run their church. It doesn't work that way. I remember for years, people would, preacher boys from around here and in this area, they'd take off and they'd go to Hammond, Indiana. Oh, you got to go to pastor school. You got to go to pastor school. So I did. If you're gonna build a church, if you're going to do anything great for God, you've got to go to pastor school. Okay, count me in, sign me up. I went 2 or 3 years in a row, heard Jack Hiles preach some of the greatest preaching I've ever heard in my life. But during the day, they had all these sessions of how to do all these ministries. I slept. I'm serious. I slept through every bit of it. Why? Because we don't have 60,000 members. None of that stuff that they mentioned would work in my situation, in my setting. I had a church of 50, 60 people. Are we on the same page? Y'all listen to me. And then these preachers would go home and they couldn't do what he was doing in Hammond, Indiana, so they resigned their church because they thought they wasn't a good pastor. What I'm saying is churches are individuals. And if we're going to find the will of God for our church and for our ministry, we're going to have to follow Him and not somebody else's little plan. Y'all all right? Everybody wants to pattern their church after somebody else's. I don't want to pattern my church after anybody else's. I don't want to be just like them or just like those. I want to be just like God wants us to be. Yeah. Amen. People say about our church all the time that visit, they never say it to me, but people will say, well, what'd you think? And they'll go, it's different. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad it's different. Amen. I'm glad. Churches, I believe, have personalities like people. They're individuals, and God deals with individuals differently. He leads individuals differently. And He leads churches differently. I don't mean differently from the book. You follow? I'm talking about methods and things. People say, oh, if you'd do this. And a lot of times people advise me things about, oh, if you'd do this, it'd raise this amount of money. And if you'd do this, it'd do that. And I'm like, yeah, my people would laugh out loud. because they're different. Amen. What I'm saying is we're going to have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our story, their job was to follow the ark. Now, who knows what the ark was? The ark of God. Everybody know what it is? The ark of God was where, I hate to put it in this term, it's where God lived. It's where God dwelled. Had the Ten Commandments, the pot of manna, and the Aaron's rod that budded. But anyway, it represented the presence and the power of God, that ark did. And what he said was when the priests pick up the ark, y'all go after it. You understanding that? Now, the ark of God for us, I believe, would be the Holy Spirit, Brother Freddie, wouldn't you? That's who we're supposed to follow. He leads us. He guides us. He leads your pastor. He leads this church. He should be leading your home if you're following him. Amen. Now, their job was to follow that ark. Our job is to follow the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, here's what happens with a lot of people. Here's where we get out of whack. Here's where some people lost it right here. They was comfortable where they were. But I like where I am. What if the ark moves? I like where I am. Listen to me carefully. I like where I am because the ark is here. When I'm talking about the ark tonight, I'm talking about the Spirit of God, okay? I'm talking about the presence and the power of God. Hey, I will not like this place when God leaves. Amen. They think, well, just because the ark's moving, we like it here. You've got to understand, when the ark moves and the ark leaves, the place where you're at is no longer the place where you're at. It's going to change drastically. I know churches tonight that, twisted my ankle pretty bad. I'll be all right in a minute. Rub some dirt on it, right? I know some churches tonight where I have been in great revival meetings in the past. As a kid growing up, local churches right here in this area that I don't know if I could sit through one of their services tonight. I don't know many people who can and stay awake. What happened? The ark moved. The ark moved, but because grandma and grandpa's buried out yonder. Don't matter if they got the right Bible or not. Amen. That's one thing I'm so thankful this church does not have, is a graveyard. Amen, amen, amen. That caused more church problems you can shake a stick at. But I'm literally, that is the mindset. Their Bible's gone. The preaching's gone. The music's gone. Nothing about that church is the same. It's just where we have always been. I had a husband and wife, and I'd say their names, but you know who they are, and I don't want to slam nobody's church tonight, but I had a husband and wife tell me yesterday, we would be here in a heartbeat, but we've just been going there so long. There's just no way we could leave it. I'm not trying to get anybody to leave the church tonight. I'm just trying to get you to follow the ark. Amen. I'm just trying to get you to stay with the Lord and follow Him. Amen? Now, the River Jordan was a big crossroads in the life of the children of Israel. That was a big step. Let me say it again. That was a big step. They were going somewhere they've never been before. They said, we've not passed this way heretofore. We've never done nothing like this before. We're fixing to fight battles like we've never fought in our life. Why would you do that? Because following that ark is worth it. Staying where the presence and the power of God is well worth it if you'll just follow the Lord. Amen? We got too many people following too much other stuff. Y'all okay? Now, crossing this River Jordan marked an end of life for the children of Israel based on the principles of effort. And it began a life based on the principle of faith and obedience. It took some faith to do what they did. Brother Freddie, I'm not sure. I'll be careful not to do that again. I'm not sure, but I've got an idea even with the dry ground there. That's still a scary deal. I mean, when you imagine they look to the right and they look to the left, What did they see? huge walls of congealed water. Can you imagine that? I mean, it took some, I'd be like, you know why? Because I'd be looking at the congealed water. He said, follow the ark. Amen. Keep your eye on it. Stay after it. It took some faith to do what they did. And it'll take some faith for you just to follow God. Did you know God will lead you into some weird situations? God will lead you into some stuff that don't really even make sense till you come out the other side. Yeah, amen. You remember the children of Israel? God led them out of Egypt. No doubt that was the hand of God that did that. God led them out of Egypt. It wasn't no time they're going, man, what in the world are we doing? We'd rather be back there eating the garlic and the leeches and all that stuff. We'd rather be back there. Y'all okay? Sometimes God will lead you into something that just don't make no sense at all. I'll be honest with you, I struggled with buying this building more than anybody here. I loved where we were. I loved our little church. I did. I mean, brother, with a passion, I loved it. But the ark was moving. You okay? We never borrowed a dime in our life. We're looking at $1.2 million. I ain't got a clue. I'm filling out the loan application, and I don't know how many zeros to put, so I spell it and probably misspelled that. I had no clue what I was doing. I was just following the ark. Are you listening? It seemed crazy. I had a preacher told me just the other day. He said, when y'all moved and bought that building, he said, you were the topic at every preacher's fellowship meeting. I said, was it all good? He said, none of it. He said, you was the talk of the town. You was the biggest fool that ever walked. I felt like it too. You listening? But I was following the ark. Now think about the consequence if we hadn't. If we hadn't followed the ark, how many of you tonight would not be here? Raise your hand. It's over half the crowd. I'm just saying, even when it don't make sense, you follow God. Amen. Amen. You follow the Lord. You got to picture this in your mind. They had to exercise some faith. Look at verse number 15. The Bible said, let me make sure I got the right verse. The Bible said, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that it is beside Zaretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Now listen carefully. Somebody had to exercise some faith. It wasn't enough to simply look at the ark. Somebody had to pick it up and move. Amen. Somebody had to pick it up. Okay, there it is. Let's just look at it. No, somebody's got to do something with it. We've got a crowd in our church right now that loves to look at the Holy Spirit. You love to see Him work. You love to see Him move. But it's time for you to move. Well, give that some thought. Maybe that's time. I know people in this church on Sunday mornings, certain people can get happy and shout. Brother Tommy can have a spell over there and just throw a hissy fit and shout. And there's several people in the church. They enjoy watching him do that. They enjoy watching the Holy Spirit move in somebody else's life. When are you going to move? Somebody had to act on that faith, pick up the ark and move. Now picture it with me now. These 12 priests pick this ark up, and when they do, 2.5 million people are watching. That's a crowd. At least 2.5 million people are watching. But the river's still rolling. Those priests begin to move, but the river's still rolling. It ain't slowed down one bit. It overflowed all its banks, it said, this time of the year, time of harvest. They got close. They got to within a foot of the water, but the water's still rolling. When a river's overflooded its banks, it's not still waters, friend. It's not still waters. It's rapid waters. My wife and I, we walk quite regularly in Sweetwater State Park, and you walk down and you go along the river. It's beautiful. But we was walking through there the other day, and she said, why is the water so still? I said, it hadn't rained. The last time we were there, one day last year, it had just about come a flood, and I mean, you couldn't even hardly hear yourself talk because the water was flowing so fast. And that's the way this water was. Listen, they picked up the ark. They begin to move. 2.5-3 million people are watching them move. Ain't nothing happened till what? They had to step in. They had to step in. I imagine those priests looked at each other and said, it's all or nothing, boys. It's all or nothing. We've come this far, we might as well. We've seen the pomegranates. We've heard of the land that flows with milk and honey. Let's just step on in. And bless God, when they took that last step of faith and did what God said do, the waters were cut off, I'm telling you, and the crowd went, wow, I believe I'll just follow that ark. Yeah. Amen. I ain't never seen nothing like this in all my life. I believe I'll just follow that thing. This thing works. Yeah. Can I say to you it works tonight? Verse 17, the Bible said their feet stood firm. That's pretty wild to me. I don't know how many of you have been up with us to the trout hatchery up there in the mountains, and we go trout fishing in them creeks. But I'll tell you what, you have to watch yourself, because you'll be on your rear end about that fast, especially when the water is very swift. Bible said, buddy, their feet stood firm. Amen? I wonder if our feet are standing firm in our faith tonight. Amen? Listen, all these people could see. All these millions of people, all they could see were the priest, the river, and the ark. But there was a lot more to it than that, wasn't there? That's all they could see. That's all they could see. A lot of times that's all we can see. It's what's right in front of us. But remember, the other day we told you, God sees the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. All you can see is what's right in front of you. God sees next week. God sees next year. What God's doing in your life may not even be for right now. It may be for 15 years from now. The older I get, the more I'm learning that. The older I get, I'm learning. Now I understand why I went through that way back yonder. I understand why I had to deal with this way back all them years ago. And it's not till now that I'm understanding why. Because all we can see is right in front of it. But God has plans for where they're going. God has plans for the land of Canaan. Listen, all they can see is the river, the ark, and the priest. But God sees a little baby in Bethlehem being born in a manger. Amen? All they can see is the river, the priest, and the ark. But God sees the Son of God hanging on a cross at Calvary. God sees an empty tomb on the first Easter Sunday morning. Hallelujah. God sees more than that. God sees 120 men crowded up in a little room when the power of God falls on them. And they go and preach on the day of Pentecost and thousands get saved. God sees a little further than that down the road to a New Year's Eve party when a little country boy named Eddie White got convicted of his sin, got born again. Hey, I'm saying all we can see is right here. But if you'll just follow God, He knows where you're going. He knows exactly where you're going, and He knows exactly how to get you there. But if we're not careful, we're not watching the ark. We're not following God, we're following circumstances. We need to make up our minds and say, I refuse to let circumstance lead my life. Because circumstance will usually lead you in a wrong direction. Now, bear with me. God can use circumstance. It gets confusing, doesn't it? He's used circumstance in my life time and again. But I had to understand, I had to discern, is this of God? Do you ever ask yourself that? Do you ever pray and ask God, Lord, is this you? Because the devil can use circumstance too. Amen. He can use circumstance to get you out of church. He can use circumstance to tear up your home, your marriage. He can use circumstance to do many, many horrible things in your life. You better start asking if it's God that's sending the circumstance in your life. Sometimes God will have to let some circumstance come just to move you. Are you listening? God sees the big picture. There was no way they could see all of this. They could not have comprehended it if they had known. But listen, they could see that ark. They could see that ark. I can't see the big picture myself. If I'd have known where this was leading 17 years ago, Brother Freddie, I may have ran. If I'd seen my son in a coma, if I'd seen some of the battles that I've had to face, I may have said no thanks. Amen. It's not worth that. But see, looking at it from that end, it wouldn't have seemed worth it. Yeah. But standing back here and looking at it from this end, it's been worth it all. Yeah. Amen. Just you that raised your hand a moment ago, that was worth it all. Yeah. I'm glad I couldn't see the whole picture. Amen. It'd scare my socks off and it'd scare you to death if you could see the whole big picture. But if you'll just follow God, you can see Him. Paul said, but we see Jesus. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Amen. Circumstance may require some attention, but they don't require your full attention. If you've got to look at the circumstances, look at it through Him. Amen. I can't comprehend all that God has in store, all that He's done, all that He's going to do. Even looking back on it, Brother Freddie, I don't understand it all. I still don't understand how God take a sinner like me and bring me from where I was and put me right here. I'll never understand that in a million years. So I'm going to try to quit understanding it and I'm just going to follow Him. Amen? I don't know about you, but looking back from where I'm at right now, I can promise you it's been worth it. Even when people says I'm crazy, they're still saying that. And as long as we follow the Lord, they're going to say that till the Lord comes. Amen? Let's stand our feet tonight. Brother Todd, would you come? Maybe just sing us a verse if you got one on your heart. Maybe just give the invitation this way tonight. Would you just come and ask the Lord to help you get your eyes off of what all is wrong? Remember what we said this morning? Get your eyes fixed on Him and what's right. Remember when you first got saved? That's all you could think about. That's all you could think about. When you was going to get to go to church again. You'd get mad if you thought you was going to have to work late on a Wednesday. Amen. Amen. Get your focus back on Him. God, dealing with your heart tonight, you come. Go ahead, Brother Todd.